Good morning. I'm Alisa Z. Thanks so much for spending your morning here with us listening to the Sunday edition. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about the economy. I know some of you are going, money, I don't have any. I always say to people, someone steals my identity, the joke's on them. But in reality, we all do need to look at money. We need to look at the economy. What do we need to know? What do we need to understand? Does one piece affect another piece for the average Joe hanging out here in the middle? Well, the average, not average, Pat O'Keefe is in the studio with me with O'Keefe. And you have all the answers, Pat. And somehow, I don't know how you do it, but you make this stuff interesting. Where for a lot of people, they'd go, we're talking the economy. We're talking about revenue projections. Yawn? No. It's really interesting. You seem to have a way of putting it in just the right terminology so that we understand why we should care. And then we do care. So good morning.
Good morning, Alisa. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad. And as I told you, with my just coming off of bronchitis, I'm going to stop talking altogether now and turn it over to you. What do we need to know? Tell me about this study, this report that you just did, and the tidbits of information and insight you can share.
Well, every year, early spring, we have what we call a middle market forum, and we bring together the chief economist from Northwood University and two of the senior bankers in town, along with our own economists. And we present a survey of about 5,000 business owners, financial advisors, attorneys, bankers, and people who are very active in the middle market to see what their sentiments are and really gauge on the prospects for the middle market into the next year. As many of your listeners probably know, I mean, the middle market employs most of the people in the United States, yep. And it's how people fulfill the American dream and their opportunity to function in the American capitalist system and grow their own personal wealth. And many of these companies are family owned. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting to hear what they have to say and what they're feeling. And this year's survey was interesting. I think generally in 2018, people were pretty optimistic. And now with a lot of the tariffs that are going on with China, you know, in a war with them on the economy, using tariffs instead of bullets, and you know, some of the issues we've seen, interest rate increases this year, and the automotive industry is slowing down a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was all the window dressing for negative sentiment, and right. That's not what we saw. I would say generally, middle market businesses are very optimistic on their prospects for 2019, and okay. Cautiously optimistic for 2020.
That's really good to hear, because you know what happened the day the tariffs were reinforced and we saw the biggest drop in the Dow than as we've seen in who knows how long. But that's not middle market we're talking about, is it?
Well, you know,
or is it?
Some of the companies you know, have an international footprint now.
Okay.
And I think, you know, there was fair warning in the economy that this, you know, was coming, that President Trump was trying to level the playing field in the economic marketplace for U.S. goods. And most people felt that it was a necessary step, although they were all hoping and crossing their fingers it wouldn't be a very long step,
right.
Because we all know what the ramifications. But what has happened has been unanticipated, I think, by many people. You have found companies have been able to pivot and maybe develop resources, supply sources in India now instead of China. In anticipation of that, some component parts, especially in the automotive industry. We have a portfolio company in Grow, Michigan that makes circuit boards, which is predominantly an Asian product now. I mean, a lot of, because right. of the cost of manual labor is just a lot cheaper to do, has seen phenomenal growth, 40-50% annually over the last couple of years. Tremendous job growth here in Michigan. And the reason for that is they are able now to get components quicker from China. And there is a push because of the tariffs that China will not produce full assemblies. And therefore, it's cheaper for them to have these assemblies done in the United States versus building them in China, shipping them, paying the high tariff. They're better off just having them made here. So this company now has access to electronic components where they had a 6-month lead time. Now it's almost 2 weeks. In terms of getting components.
Wow.
And they are seeing a level of business they never would have imagined, mostly in automotive, but they also do a fair amount in the healthcare business with medical instruments and whatnot for circuit boards. So
Michigan Ingenuity.
No, I mean, I just never thought about that that would be a consequence. One of the things...
Well, like you said, there was plenty of lead time. We knew it was coming, so it took a smart cookie to say, okay, how can we not only circumvent the problem, but how can we capitalize on it? And that's what they're doing, and that's what a good business person does.
That's right. I mean, as you know, we are in the distressed business, and as turnaround consultants, the companies that are able to survive are those that are able to pivot the fastest when there's a disruptor in their business.
Right.
And that cookbook for success is always there, and some companies are better than others at it. But, Michigan Ingenuity and I think the resourcefulness of American business is really trying to take advantage of that. Now, there's no dispute that our agricultural community is getting crushed by this. And the hope is that some of this tariff money will go to subsidize some of our farmers so that they stay alive. I mean, the farming industry's been a disaster over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And I blame that mostly on the government. We do a lot with the fruit farmers in Michigan. We've had numerous cases involving them. And we were slowly seeing the American farm die. Is third and fourth generation families see how hard their parents are working, and they're just not going to put forth the same amount of effort for such little reward. In addition to that, cherries being near and dear to Michigan, the cherry farmers, again, were resourceful. They pretty much doubled the market. They introduced cherries as, you know, something that was heart smart and a healthy food. And
yeah, they totally rebranded the fruit, didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, they went from, being, quart stands and pie fillers,
yep,
to really producing something that arguably may have some medicinal qualities and nutritional qualities. And the, like Turkey, for instance, in Poland, are some of the biggest cherry producers in the world, really came in and took that market over. And so you haven't seen, while the industry in terms of size has doubled, the U.S. farmer in that particular segment has not seen any growth in their prices and, or their quantities, and that's horrible. And I would argue that our government, when we allow countries like that to dump goods to establish market share, really does a disservice to that. And if it's the cost of having an Air Force base in Turkey, so be it. But why should it be borne by the American, the Michigan farmer, for instance?
Exactly. So, well, like you said, maybe some of this tariff money, maybe we can help the agriculture system in the country and help the Michigan farmer. It's a very scary business to be in right now. And like you said, we're not seeing families saying, let's have 17 kids so that they can grow up and work the farm. I've known people like that who are my age, and they were number 17 of 17, so to speak. And they're going, nope, not going to do that. And there are more options for them. So we don't see that as much anymore. It's a different kind of family business, isn't it?
It certainly is. Although I am happy to be the proud grandfather of 9 grandkids, which at my age is almost unheard of.
9
And so I'm hoping the pendulum is swinging the other way. Yeah,
from
they're all under
kids?
The age of 7.
From so, how many children?
From 3.
Wow. Well, my sister has you beat just by a little bit. She has 10 grandchildren. And my baby brother has 2, and I have none yet. But maybe next year. You have 9 grandchildren. That's wonderful.
Yeah, as you sit in the households of some of these parents, it's really organized confusion. And the organization of that confusion is sometimes at risk, too. But the best thing about being a grandparent is that you get to leave at some point in time.
You go home.
Yeah, and leave it to your kids to figure out.
So what were some of the surprises of this report?
Well,
I'm thinking about grandbabies now, but you go talk about it.
There you go. The grandbabies are a lot more exciting. But the middle market companies that we talked to in this year's survey generally were as optimistic as last year. I mean, we had 84% last year thought that they would meet or exceed their revenue forecasts for the year, and this year was 80%. So if you think about any trouble on the horizon, generally middle market companies thought that they were going to be doing fine in 2019. That was evidenced by the business owners really feeling that 19 would be a growth year. 60% of all respondents to our survey felt that they would have great or modest growth in 2019. So okay. Stagnant was really not a, you know, a business plan for business owners.
That's good to hear. And it's surprising to me, to tell you the truth, because you hear people still bandying about terms. Well, depends if they're talking politically. They bandy about all kinds of terms. But people who oppose current policy say, no, we're headed toward a recession. People who support current policy say, oh, no, everything's better than before and continuing to get better. So for the average business owner, I'm happy to hear that overall there's an optimistic view, because if you start with optimism, you're more likely to achieve the positive result.
You know, that is so true. And Michigan clearly feels the economic cycles maybe more and more deeper and more frequently than the rest of the country. But if we get to July with continued growth, it will be the largest expansion in the history of America in terms of continual growth. And I think, you know, we're pretty much on that path. The one thing I will say, which was kind of interesting, and there was a dramatic drop-off, is that last year, over 82% of our respondents, actually it was almost 90 when you consider significant or modest increases, were putting more money into capital.
Okay.
And, you know, they were willing to, you know, buy more machinery and equipment, and they were willing to expand. This year, that number dropped to 44%, which was a huge decrease. Now,
is it because they did the investment last year that there are fewer who need to do that to invest in expansion this year?
Well, some of that is true, but I think, you know, CapEx is usually a long-term play.
Yeah.
And I think companies are a little bearish on future prospects.
Okay.
I also think that the tax reform fueled a lot of this additional capital. Companies found that they had more cash, and that was evidenced by, you know, higher dividends, more bonuses, you know, to labor, and also, you know, more property, plant, and equipment. They weren't afraid to spend because now they had the money to do it.
Okay.
So, you know, I think there were some factors driving it, but the decrease, I think, this year can also be attributed to that. When we got into some of the other slides, one of the things that people were doing with cash that they had were paying down debt. And, you know, as we head into any kind of recessionary, companies that are less leveraged, which means, you know, they don't owe the bank a whole heck of a lot of money, have just more flexibility on what they can do to sustain their operations.
Sure.
And I think, you know, companies having gone through cycles and, you know, having 2008 to 2010 still fresh in their mind, realize that having too much debt is going to impact, you know, their ability to suffer through a recession,
right,
which inevitably is going to come. I mean, nothing goes up in a straight line.
Right, of course.
That. The next big issue that came up, which was not surprising, was labor.
Okay.
And that 70% said that their primary challenges within their business were labor employee issues. Now, what was interesting about this was in past years, healthcare was number one. And healthcare this year slid all the way to four. And I don't know that healthcare has been fixed, which is why it's of lesser concern. But I think, you know, full employment is good, but it also means that there's jobs that are not being fulfilled as some of these companies continue to expand.
Right.
And the issue there is skilled labor. We had a session in the survey that really allowed people to provide comments, and they all said that, you know, skilled labor continued to be a problem in Michigan, and that it was hard to find qualified staff to support, you know, the growth within their own infrastructure.
We've been hearing that for a while now, haven't we?
We have, and, you know, unfortunately, we don't seem to be moving fast enough in the right direction relative to curing that, but there's a lot of good jobs that are available.
Right.
Even within auto plants, which would normally seem to be mundane. I mean, there's, you know, $60,000 to $100,000 a year jobs for people who work on the line that have technical skills.
Okay.
And, you know, not everybody needs a four-year degree. And I think, you know, with the cost of those four-year degrees, we see a lot of students coming out of college with home mortgages but no home.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
That is just
yes,
that size.
That's the size of the debt. We're going to pause for a moment. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the skilled trades issue a little bit more and other areas of concern and how you would propose that maybe they get fixed. Would you do that for me, Pat O'Keefe?
I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you so much. Thanks for spending your morning here with us. I always like listening to what you have to say. And thank you for spending your morning here with us as well. Once again, I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.